D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, Christians are under attack.
In the midst of this century of atheism and godlessness, we are also seeing a tremendous century of persecution.
Where is it happening, and what can we do about it?
Most people in the world don't understand that there is a worldwide war being waged against Christians.
We'll shine a light on Christian persecution and give you an opportunity to stand against it here on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. As we look around the world, we see that there is increasingly a cost associated with being a Christian. And in many places, that price is severe. Today, on the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we will shine a light on some of the hot spots where Christians are under the most fire. The scripture tells us, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We'll hear Dr. D. James Kennedy amplify on this biblical mandate to remember our suffering brothers and sisters, and we'll give you the opportunity to stand firm against an incipient form of persecution that is afoot right here in America. We begin with a report on the state of Christian persecution around the globe, and here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb.
Regrettably, the religious freedom enjoyed by American citizens is rare in the world. Approximately 80% of the world's population live in countries where religious liberty is threatened, restricted, or even banned.
Pew Research in June last year reported that Christians are being harassed in 144 countries. That's up 34% from 2007, when it was only 98 countries. So this is definitely something on the increase. And I don't think American Christians can any longer ignore what really is happening to their brothers and sisters around the world.
As we speak, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Yazidis, and many other people of faith are being jailed, sanctioned, tortured, and even murdered, often at the hands of their own government.
The persecution of Christians is happening in three places primarily: in about 40 Muslim countries, in India, the world's largest democracy at the hands of radical Hindus, and also in the remnant communist countries like North Korea and in China.
Well, in China, there have been reports for a number of years that Christianity is flourishing and growing and expanding, that there are an untold number of people who are becoming Christians in China. What we're also seeing is a recent crackdown on Christians and on churches, crosses being destroyed off of churches so that people can't tell this is a church, churches being destroyed, being bulldozed, Bibles online being censored. If you're in China now, you're not able to access a Bible online. And so we see this silencing, this crushing of public displays of Christianity in China.
They are atheists. This is doctrine to them. And so they don't agree with faith. And they've taken over now the regulation of religion in the country from the government, and they've come much more aggressively. And now they're deploying these new technologies of hundreds of millions of cameras all over the country, posted in the churches, artificial intelligence system behind that, sifting through the data to determine whether you're a person that's too religious by their determination and somebody that they should see that, well, your apartment lease doesn't get renewed, you get let go from your job, your kids can't go to the school you want to go to, because you're too religious by their definition.
As bad as persecution is in China today, it is worse in North Korea.
In an authoritarian regime, the only final answer to power is the regime itself, be it the party or the totalitarian ruler. So Kim Jong-un is God to the people of North Korea. And to have a God above that, to worship the one Lord Jesus Christ, goes against everything that totalitarian regime pushes forward and imposes upon the people.
Also in Asia, in India, Christians are facing terrible persecution recently, which has not been the norm in the second most populated country on earth.
In India, Hindu nationalism is growing, and it's a very extreme and violent form of nationalism that seeks to ethnically cleanse Christians out of the country. Now, there are some states of India. India is a huge country. So there are some states in India in which Christians are have a large population. And so they've been able to continue to practice their faith. But in other states in India, there's been a horrible persecution of killings, burning of homes and villages, and a form of ethnic cleansing, where Christians are not able to get an education, to go to school, to get certain jobs. And so we should be praying for Christians in India, that their faith would flourish as well, and that they would not be intimidated.
And of course, some of the fiercest persecution of Christians comes from the hand of Muslims in various countries.
I met with a guy yesterday in Iran that was beaten, taken in, arrested multiple times, hung upside down. And then his persecutor at one point's rolling a bullet around in his hand and saying, every Christian should have one of these, threatening his life right there. And you hear those gripping stories of people, and they're all true. And it's happening in the world today.
One of the worst places for Christians to be is in a Muslim-majority country. If you were a Muslim and you converted to Christianity, you have a target on you.
We've seen in Turkey, for instance, in 1902, 20% of the population was Christian. Now, less than 0.02% of the population is Christian.
In Africa, as Muslim extremists, as Islamism has spread, it's become even more dangerous for Christians. In a place like Somalia, it's incredibly dangerous to profess faith in Jesus Christ. We seem to be at an almost unique time in history in which we see a massive growth of Christianity, but at the same time, an increase in persecution and oppression of Christianity. And so it seems that there may be a link between the two, and I have to go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I am persecuted, you will be persecuted as well.
I think if there was a global setting of some minimal standards of religious freedom, that you can't kill another person for their faith, that we don't lock people up for having a different faith than the majority faith, just really basic standards that you could try to start pulling the world towards.
Most people in the world don't understand that there is a worldwide war being waged against Christians.
Today, with one clear voice, the United States of America calls upon the nations of the world to end religious persecution.
Start every day with new every morning. This newly revised and newly printed daily devotional is one of the most beloved and enduring works of Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Find inspiration in the pages of New Every Morning through heart-stirring meditations that address the issues most critical to believers today to help us draw closer to God, understand Scripture more clearly, and apply it to our lives. Contact us today to receive your copy of New Every Morning so that you can enjoy the biblical, spiritual nourishment found in this daily devotional.
Perhaps you are shocked to discover the level of persecution against Christians in the world today. One of the most underreported stories of our time. On the one hand, persecution is expected. The Apostle Peter tells us, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you, to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed." But by the same token, we are not to sit back and fatalistically tolerate attacks on Christians. So what can we do? Dr. D. James Kennedy shows us where it starts in this portion of his message, "Lord, teach us to pray."
Now, every age has its own Zeitgeist, as the Germans call it. A Zeitgeist is the spirit of an age, that overwhelming, dominating spirit that seems to pervade all of that particular culture. And there's no doubt about the zeitgeist of our age. It is selfishness. We live in the age of self. It is looking out for number one. Well, the Lord's Prayer is particularly useful in exploding that spirit of our age. Because you see, it begins and ends with God, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And it ends with God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallowed and glorified. Let God be that. For all of that he is. That is what the Lord's Prayer teaches us. It is the model prayer. The perfect prayer upon which we can model our own prayers. But Luke tells us, and Jesus said, "And when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." I hope that in itself proves to be a helpful lesson and improvement in your prayer life. And as we do that, we are going to see that it's going to have a profound effect upon the selfishness of our age, which unfortunately has seeped under the doors of the church, even mingled itself with the incense of our own prayers. In fact, I'm afraid if all of our prayers had been recorded and we were to put them on a loudspeaker, and one by one you would stand up as your prayers are being broadcast into the sanctuary, in too many cases we would hear, "And Lord, help me with this, and Lord, give me that, and give me this, and give me the other thing, and I want this, and I want that, and I want, and I need. I. Ad infinitum, ad nauseam." I'm afraid that there would be a good deal of that, happily not among all, but among some. And so even this self-centeredness has come right into our prayer life. And therefore this prayer given to us by Christ is a great antidote to that spirit of selfishness, the zeitgeist of our age. If you'll notice, there are seven petitions in this prayer. The first three, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Or as it says in Greek, "Let it be hallowed, thy name. Let it come, thy kingdom. Let it be done, thy will. Thy, thy, thy. The first three petitions have only to do with God. His name, His kingdom, His will. I think it's interesting that when the pilgrims came over here in the Mayflower Compact, they wrote that they had made this voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. When all of the founders got together in the New England Confession, they said that they all came into these parts of America for one and the same end and aim, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Puritans endeavored to build a city, a shining city set on a hill, where the will of God would be the custom of its inhabitants. Isn't it interesting that the founders of this nation built their life upon the first three petitions of our Lord's Prayer? Thy name be hallowed. Let it be hallowed, thy name. Did you ever stop to think that the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me? That God is to be glorified and hallowed and be set up as the one great God. Furthermore, we notice in the shorter catechism that the first question, which asks what is the chief end of man, answers by saying the chief end of man is to glorify God and then to enjoy Him forever. And the first petition is, let thy name be hallowed. Whether it is the first commandment, the first question, or the first petition, all are the same. That God would be hallowed, His name would be glorified, that He would be the one for whom we live our lives. I read a definition of a Christian one time that said this: a Christian is one who puts God first in his life. I think that's very simple, perhaps simplistic, but extraordinarily difficult to do. In fact, I would say that it's impossible to do unless through regeneration the old nature is slain, which is inevitably going to put itself first, and a new nature which glorifies and desires to hallow the name of God is created. And so, in truth, and not merely in word, those who put God truly first in their lives are only Christians. And that should be a model for us. In the midst of this century of atheism and godlessness, we are also seeing a tremendous century of persecution. In the 20th century, more Christians have been martyred than any other century. More than in the first century, the second or third, amidst the 10 great waves of persecution that swept across the Roman world, which probably resulted in somewhere between 3 to 5 million Christians being killed. But in the 20th century, more than 100 million Christians have been killed for their faith, martyred for their faith, more than in all other centuries combined. And so, when we pray, thy name be hallowed, hallowed be thy name, let us remember that Christians all over the world, in at least 20 nations, mostly all either radical Islamic nations or the dying communist nations, are brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for Christ. One of these days, you're going to meet all of those brothers and sisters. And they might be very interested of what you were doing while they were being tortured and killed. Let us remember those who are in prison, even as though we were imprisoned with them.
As you just heard from Dr. Kennedy, it's essential that we stand with our Christian brothers and sisters who are under attack. We must stand by them through prayer and action. And we must also remember how persecution actually starts. It begins with social ostracization and ramps up to legal penalties against religious beliefs and activities before finally becoming violent. In America, we are already at the point of legal penalties. Now in Congress, there are those who have reintroduced the Do No Harm Act, which would actually do great harm to Christians by removing religious freedom. This act would penalize Christian businesses for exercising religious conscience on issues like marriage and human sexuality. It would penalize a company like Hobby Lobby for declining to provide abortion-inducing birth control to employees. These are just examples of the ways in which religious freedom would be constrained. We have put together a petition to try to stop this terrible legislation in its tracks. Contact us to obtain the petition to your senators calling upon them to defeat the so-called Do No Harm bill now making its way to the Senate. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Please complete your petitions and send them back to us as soon as possible so that we can join your voice together with thousands of others to defeat this First Amendment violating legislation. And if you're able to include a generous donation to help us continue the work of this ministry, we will send you a newly printed edition of Dr. D. James Kennedy's classic devotional work, New Every Morning, which he co-authored with Jerry Newcomb. This is a powerful spiritual resource that will prepare you for 2020, and it makes a wonderful Christmas present. This 365-day devotional is one of the most enduring and beloved writings of Dr. Kennedy's entire ministry. And this beautiful revised edition is one of the most stunning versions of it we have ever released. It would be my privilege to thank you for your donation by sending you a brand new, just published copy. And if you're able to give a donation of $100 or more, we will send you three copies, enabling you to give the gift of spiritual nourishment to friends and loved ones this Christmas. Contact us right away for your petition to your senators to defeat the anti-Christian Do No Harm Act. And if you include a generous donation, we'll thank you with a copy of the new edition of Dr. Kennedy's classic devotional, New Every Morning. And we'll send you three copies as our thanks for your generous donation of $100 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or you can call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Around the world, today more than ever, Christians are driven from their homes and in many cases killed. What would motivate a Christian to hold to his or her faith in the face of such intense persecution, when it would be so much easier to simply deny Christ and go on undisturbed. We get a glimpse of this as we look at Acts chapter 7 and see Stephen, the first martyr of the church. After being hauled before the Sanhedrin for a trial because he was doing wonders and signs among the people, Stephen charges his captors with resisting the Holy Spirit. The scriptures tell us that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." The enraged religious leaders cast him out and had him stoned to death. But why didn't Stephen simply recant? Why not apologize and go free? Well, because Stephen had encountered the living Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He had experienced forgiveness of his sins and received the gift of eternal life. He knew that suffering at the hands of zealots was only for a moment, but that what Jesus Christ offered him was eternal. Jesus himself said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The life of Christ demands a response from every man, woman, and child. How will you respond to Jesus, the Savior? The answer to that question will determine your eternal destiny. After a billion years of eternity have gone by, you will have only just begun. Will you spend that eternity in the joyful presence of God the Son? Or will you spend it enduring the endless wrath of God against your sins? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you have not done so already, turn from your sins today, right now, and put your faith in Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. And may the grace and peace of God be yours in abundance. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
How much is this nation worth fighting for?
I think keeping politics out of sports is probably a wise thing. I mean, one of the problems we suffer from in America is that we've politicized everything.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.